Shalom Rabosai, welcome. Today is Tuesday, February 4th?
Yes.
5th, February 5th. And we are going to continue. Today's February 4th, actually. 4th, it says. And we're going to do a little bit of finish up. I think today will be the last day of the practical applications of Makkah B'Patish. I think we'll do it. Unless if you want more, I could do more. But I think some people are itching to get back to real Gemara. So today is not regular. That we're doing practical applications, but it's something that's more fun, but it's less working. So we had let's open up to Ayin Hey Amud Beis. Ayin Hey Amud Beis, did we read the Gemara yet? I think we read it already. So Ayin Hey Amud Beis, it talked about pulling off the pine needles and the thorns that got stuck in the fabric when you were weaving the fabric. So do we talk about practical applications of that? Okay, so if I have the Gemara tells me that I can't, if I have fabric that I'm weaving, so the last stage to make this jacket wearable, what happens? I buy a jacket, but since when they were weaving the fabric, the wind blew some pine needles or some thorns into the fabric, and then it got weaved over those pine needles. So what do I have? I have a jacket. I take home a jacket. What's on the jacket? I have a little thorn in the jacket. I have little pine needles that I have to pull out of the jacket. So, when I pull out those pine needles, with those thorns, I'm making my jacket. Is there a jacket here before I pull anything out? There's a beautiful jacket. What? Yeah, it's a beautiful jacket. But is it wearable? I mean, you wouldn't be seen, at the big shul and grain neck wearing a jacket like that has all these pine needles in coming out of it. So you're going to pull out those pine needles. So what are you doing? You're putting the finishing touch on the jacket, right? Let's pause for a minute. According to the Ran, the Rireyim, the Meiri, that you have to have a completed kli and then do the Gemara Malacha. It fits well, right? Because you have a jacket. The jacket's ready made. You're just putting a finishing touch, making it, really usable or comfortable, socially usable, but it's finished clay. And according to Rashi, either way you're fine, because Rashi says you always give me chayim. Fine, so it fits everybody. So we're good. Let's talk about some very practical applications of that Gemara, not talking about pulling out. Something that happens to a suit that the suit is finished, but there's something that has to be taken care of. That's interesting. That's from a halachic perspective. It's the last thing you need to do before you wear it. What about something physical to the suit? It's the last thing you need to do to make it ready to wear, even though it's made.
The child said that.
Oh, we talked about that already? Oh, okay. I had the word chalk there.
Yeah.
Good. So you saw that. Okay. So that's the. I didn't remember if it was. I'm sorry. So you go. You have the chalk from the tailor on the bottom of your cuffs. Rubbing off the chalk would be the same as pulling off those thorns. So let's not get into cleaning. Cleaning on Shabbos is a different issue, a different malacha. Malacha Malabim, different one of the 39 malachas. So
any
just rub.
Kind of cleaning?
Cleaning certainly with water.
No, but I mean like removing.
So no, that's not cleaning. No, that's not cleaning. That's not laundering. Let's use the word laundering. That's not cleaning. That's just picking out stuff. So that's why it's not going to be in the realm of libun, of cleaning, but rather it'll be makkah b'patish.
Right, but if I had the jacket for 10 years already and just got a little bit dirty, I can certainly pick up stuff on the jacket. It's not
right, if you have a pine needle stuck in there, you'd be able to pull it out.
Yeah.
What I want to talk about right now is going to be sort of what you're talking about. What happens if you have a brand, this is not so practical, only because lint usually happens when you, wash it, after you already have it, use it and wash it. Let's say you have something brand new, and it comes with lint on it.
Lint?
Lint. How do you say lint in Spanish? I only have one Spanish. No, you. What's lint? You know, when you put a sweater, let's say you put a black shirt in the washing machine in the dryer, and you left a tissue in your pocket. So all the tiny little pieces are all over your black shirt with tiny little white dots.
Lint.
L-I-N-T.
Like a price tag.
price tag we'll talk about afterwards. So lint, pulling off that lint. So if you buy, again, if you buy something and it comes with lint on it, so that would probably be an application of this Gemara Malacha, just like pulling out the pine needles or the thorns. This would probably be also pulling off the lint, that would probably be usur. The question is, what happens if it's already usable? You've already worn this jacket, this sweatshirt, this sweater for, you know, used it for a year and a half, and it just happened to come out of the wash and it's full of lint. So it's not wearable now. So are we going to say that removing the lint now on Shabbos is also going to be a problem, makar v'patish? So if it's in a way that it's not usable anymore, you're making it usable once again. I think that might be a problem. I don't remember. I'm not sure about this.
Would it be like a pillow with restuffing it?
You say maybe it would be okay because you're redoing something. That should be okay. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that. That's something we have to think about. Let's apply the next application of pulling things off clothing to make them wearable. So you saw what the Sefer Binyan Shabbos wrote about tags on clothing. Let me just check. Where was this?
I don't know if it's related to the question that you just asked, but I think there's a deal here that you can make from the Shulchan Aruch.
Oh, I skipped. I'm sorry, I skipped. Okay, we'll talk about something. What?
It says Bahem min ha'ariga, meaning from the first time from the tailor.
No, ariga means the weave.
Right, I mean, but this is the ariga. From the weave. From the moment you weaved. That's the way I understood.
No, I think it's after the jacket's already made. You're pulling it out from the weave. From between the weave. You know, that's the ariga. Pulling it out from
It's not that they happen because of the
makar v'patish, I'm sorry. Oh. From when they were weaving. No, these are left over. When did they get stuck? They got stuck when they were. When you're weaving, there are strings, right. And something falls there. You put
right.
it together.
So
from that time, they got stuck.
But you can make the deal that it happened for the first time. Meaning, if it happens after,
I don't know,
the making process, then you can.
I think it's just telling you how it got there. Meaning, I don't have pine needles that fly into my jacket and get stuck. It's telling you from when you got, from when you weave it while you're weaving it, that's how it happens. So, I don't know if I agree with that too.
Okay.
Now, again, I don't remember if we, I don't think we mentioned this yesterday, but you'll tell me if we did. When I have lint on my shirt, let's say there are 40 pieces of lint. Brand new shirt. Let's say it's not like I bought it before and I already washed it. I bought it from the store that has lint on it. It has 40 pieces of lint. So it's clear when I take off that 40th piece, I take off the first 39 pieces of lint, I take off the 40th piece of lint, that 40th piece of lint will clearly be
makar
v'patish. I have the question as follows. What happens when I take off the first 3 pieces of lint?
Exactly
makar v'patish. What? So why?
Because if you tie, you're going to finish it.
Who knows? Maybe I won't.
But that's what someone says.
Chazil, it's true thing.
The Meir said that, no?
Who could reject Reuven? Reuven said a brilliant idea, and who could reject him? Reuven said...
David said that.
He didn't say Chazil. You gave a technical turn. We could knock out your technical... Everyone in this class from last semester should be able to knock out Reuven. Reuven said... That even if you didn't do all 40, you only did a few of the pieces of lint, it's chazilitz terufe. Something we did last time. It's chazilitz terufe. And therefore, it should at least be drabban or something, chatzishir, asim hatara, and it should still be us to take off a little bit, even if it's not the full makar v'patish, the full 40 pieces of the lint, it should still be chazilitz terufe. Every single person in this room who's here last semester could reject what Reuven just said. Again. Reuven said that if you did, I'll try to say it in a way that I'll give you the answer. Reuven said that if you take off all 40 pieces of lint, you did the whole makar v'patish, then you're definitely chayav. Says Reuven, even if you only took off a little bit of the makar v'patish, maybe you didn't really do the full malacha.
Makar v'patish doesn't have a shear.
Thank you, of course. What do you mean chazilitz terufe? It's chazilitz terufe, it could be combined into what?
A full
shir. Hello, this is Bonad, Malkum Patish. Malkum Patish is Bekol
Shehu. So that's the reason.
No. That's just rejecting what he said.
But that's what
so clearly, no. You're saying that the first two or three pieces of lint will be a Kol Shehu.
Yeah.
Good. With, I'm saying, yeah, it's a Kol Shehu, but it's not even Makkeh B'Patish. Maybe only the 40th piece of lint is the Makkeh B'Patish. If you do Makkeh B'Patish, that Makkeh B'Patish could be even a tiny amount. It could be one pulling off one piece of lint, the 40th. Fine, so even the Mishnah is telling you that even if it's a tiny act, that could constitute Makkeh B'Patish. Our question that we're discussing, that this, who talked about it? The Meiri and the Be'er Halacha, he was talking about when you're not doing it at the very end. It's not the final thing that you're doing. First of all, let's look at the Be'er Halacha. Who wrote the Be'er Halacha? Anyone know? The Mishnah Brura on the side, when he wants to talk about things a little bit more at length, when he wants to write a mini essay. The Mishnah Brura itself is just the one-liners explaining the Shulchan Aruch. When he wants to write a mini essay on a topic that the Shulchan Aruch is discussing, he writes it in the Be'er Halacha. So this Be'er Halacha brings a proof. Where did we talk about this proof yesterday? No. Let's open up to Ayin Hay, Amud Beis. Did we talk about the two birds kissing?
Yeah, we talked about drawing them. Yeah.
Right. Let's say the Mishnah, the two new gentlemen today, the Gemara says that Makkeh B'Patish is putting a finishing touch on something. So the Gemara says on the Fayin Hay that if you have a kli that you manufacture, and now you just put on the design, the pattern on the kli, that putting on the design is a finishing touch. You made it into like a beautiful kli. That's Makkeh B'Patish. Okay. Now, my question is, let's say you only did half the design. So that wasn't the finishing touch, because the finishing touch is when you finish the design. That's when it's really ready. But on the other hand, putting the design is the last stage of the process. So, says the Mishnah Brura in the Be'er Halacha, that the Gemara says that Tzar Tzura, when you draw the design, that's going to be Makkeh B'Patish. And our Mishnah says that even a tiny bit of Makkeh B'Patish is going to be a malacha. So Mishnah Brura understands that that's going to be, even if you don't, even as long as you're involved in, who could articulate the Be'er Halacha's argument in a coherent sentence? Go ahead.
That you're making part of the finishing touch, even though you didn't do it completely or you didn't do it, but it's the whole act that it's forbidden, you can't do it, it just worked. And you did a little bit of it.
You're saying...
Because the Mishnah says Kol Shehu, so therefore, even the beginning, if you don't finish the Makkeh B'Patish, even the beginning of the Makkeh B'Patish is still...
Fine. I think the way the Be'er Halacha says it himself is the best. Let's look inside. In the Be'er Halacha, the part that I underline. Even if you do a little bit, you do the beginning part, you do only the initial part, the end of the underlined line. Kevan Shehu Oseh, the end of the underlined line. Kevan Shehu Oseh Mehapu'ulot Hana'asim Bigmar HaKli. Since you're doing something that's among the actions that you do, at the very end. Even if it's not the actual final action, final touch, but it's the... You're involved in the, like, it's sort of, let's say we're going to talk about food later. Let's say we say pouring caramel or chocolate syrup on the banana split. Let's assume that's Makkeh B'Patish. I might drop banana split and all my ice cream and my whipped cream and all. And the last thing I do is I start pouring the chocolate syrup. That's the beginning of the final action. The final action is pouring the syrup. So even the beginning of that final action, that's going to be, that's what we're going to see soon. So that's
the reason.
What's the reason?
What you just said.
I just rephrased the Be'er Halacha. The Be'er Halacha said that whenever you are involved in the final step, even if it's the beginning, if it's the final step that you do to the in the process, even if it's at the beginning of the final step, you'll also be chayav.
That's the statement. Is he going to... That's the proof? That's the idea?
That's his idea that he proves from wherever. I don't want to go through it all inside.
Oh, okay. But that's, just, okay.
That's the kernel. That's the Allah. And he proves it for the Meiri. So let's see the Meiri inside.
Who would be the Be'er Halacha for the Meiri?
Yep. The last line of the Be'er Halacha. Look at the last line of the Be'er Halacha.
Let's say you're planning to do like a couple different designs. That you're creating like sparkles, and you're like drawing something. So creating the sparkles, and then part of the decorating. But
great question. Let's say you plan on, I have a kli, and I'm going to draw birds, and I'm going to draw a pond, and I'm going to draw a sunset on top. So
and then you're going to do something different than drawing, like what a
coloring it in. Yeah, it's a,
and then I'll color it in.
Yeah. So with coloring it in the beginning of the last section, or
I would say based on this Be'er Halacha, these are all the these are all the decorating stage. That's what I would think. Wait, that's my own. That's my reading.
When the moment you get the clay, everything else after that is a matter.
If there's nothing else, I'm gonna, meaning let's say like this. Let's say I'm going to put a design on it, and then I'm going to put a polish on the. I want the design to. Let's say I design in color, right, in crayon. But crayon, it's going to get mushed around, so I'm going to put a shellac over it, or a
veneer.
How do you say that in Spanish?
Veneer.
You know what veneer is? Something on the outside to keep it shiny, but to like glaze, a glaze.
Veneer.
A glaciada.
No.
Something on the outside. After you make a design on something and you want it to stay there, so you put this shiny stuff, shiny sticky stuff, it holds whatever design is underneath.
Yeah.
And no one can ruin the paint, no one can ruin the crayon. It's shiny and...
We really don't know Spanish. Yeah, varnish.
Varnish, fine. Same
varnish.
Thing. Varnish, yes. So let's say, this is your question, let's say you're going to make a design and then you're going to varnish it. So would the design be the last stage?
No, the varnish.
I think then you wouldn't be chayev. And yes, it does depend
really?
On your own intention.
Because the last touch would be varnish.
Because the last touch would be the... In fact, I have a Rashi who says explicitly like me. Where is it? The case of chavit. Do you have a case of a chavit? There's a Rashi that says... Rashi says explicitly like me, what I just told you.
Yes, sir, I always
have. But it makes sense from the point of view of Rashi, it makes sense.
Chavit is a barrel. I don't think I gave it to you.
We saw it in Bar Mitzia.
In Beitza? We talked about the different malachas that you violate when you make a barrel. There are seven different malachas that you violate when you make a barrel. Rashi there says.
We do that? We did it?
Oh, is this the last thing on page 4?
We spoke about the barrels yesterday, but.
This man, or is that enough?
Thank you.
Yeah?
Yeah, great. Yeah, thank you. Doug is to the rescue. Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Everyone open up Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. So again, what are we trying to find out right now? We're trying to find out. Let's say I have two finishing touches. I have my kli, I manufactured a kli, and on Friday, and I want to use it for Friday night dinner, but before I do it, I want to make a design on it, and then after I make the design, I want to put the veneer, the varnish, the shellac, the shiny stuff on top to hold it in place. So I'm Dalam and Bez. Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. It's not really the Gemara. It's Gemara going to be from Rashi.
You're supposed to come today and bring me that book.
9:10.
That guy. 9:10. In the skinny lines, about 6th to last skinny line. Amarava by the tiny hay.
Hmm?
What's the first story?
First one line is Emo Lo Kamash Malan, period. Six to last skinny line.
Amarava.
Hi, man. This man, David Chavita, who makes a
barrel.
It's not, I don't think we're talking about a barrel of wood, probably a barrel out of clay. Chayev Mishum Sheva Chatot. He has to bring seven Karban Chatasis. Why? Why do you have to bring seven Karban Chatasis?
Because he made seven.
Correct. He violated seven different malachas.
How?
We'll see in Rashi. Tanura, if you did a tanur, if you made a tanur, made a clay, you manufactured a clay oven on Shabbos, chayev, clay, chayev is clay, yeah? Chayev mishum shmona chatav. You violated eight different malachas and have to bring eight carbon chatases. Let's look at Rashi.
What is it?
have to find the Rashi.
Tanur is an oven, no?
Tanur is an oven, yes. I'm going to have to find it.
It's the last Rashi of the wide lines of the Gemara.
Sheva
Ta'at.
Oh, okay, I see.
The wide?
Yeah, the big
Sheva
old.
Sheva
Chatos.
Ah, yeah, Sheva Chatos. Tochen, Aragabim, Nishokherke, Adag, Avi Tochen,
Water. Okay, let's see the seven Chatos. When you make a Chavit, what do you violate? Everyone have Rashi with me? It's the... Yes. The last skinny lines of Rashi. Michael, could he look on with you? Sheva Chato, says Rashi, Tochein, you grind up haragavim, the clumps of dirt, v'shochakan, and you crumble them up, hadik, small, have a tochein. Haragavim are clumps of dirt. How do you say clump of dirt?
Clump of dirt.
You know what a clump is? You know what that means? Okay, so meaning when you're making a clay, something out of clay, first you have to get the clay. So you take these, you crumple up the big clumps of dirt. That's tochen. That's number one. Then you have to get rid of all the pebbles from your mix. Borer hatzrorot hagasot mitochen. You do borer of the pebbles hagasot that are thick, the bigger pebbles from them. Hareshtayim. That's a second malacha. Umar kidin benafa. You shake it in a... What? Tuesdays... What?
Yeah, Tuesdays is at 12:30.
Okay, so yes, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
This is the only day that we have
early shiur. Right, we only have early
shiur
on Tuesdays.
No, on Sunday.
Sunday is now in Hebrew.
Oh.
Okay, so continuing. Markida benafa. I shake it in a sea, in a... What do you call a nafa? A nafa is David... On July in Jerusalem, we shook the... Did the archaeology, we shook it...
Un colador.
A colander. Coliander. A sieve. Colander. A sieve. You know what that is, Michael? It's like a thing that has little holes and little stuff goes through. What? A strainer. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. A strainer. Fine. Let's go to the next one. So these are the melachas. Let's look at the next Rashi and the last word of the skinny lines. But if you do a tanur, there's one extra melacha. Chayav mishum shmona. Look at Rashi, first white line. De'la'achar shetzarfa b'kivshan. After you, tzarfa means you fired up in a furnace. After you fired up in the furnace.
You skipped?
Yeah, I skipped to the first white line.
Oh, wow.
Because we don't have to know the other melachas.
Did you say what?
Tanur Chayav Shmona, there's this eighth malacha that you violate. It's also made out of pottery, so you have the first seven, plus you have an eighth. Why de la'achar shetzarfa b'kivshan, after you fire it up in a furnace, hutach alav tfeila. You, tach means to, look, gentlemen, look at me. You take a little liquid, and you spread it on the... It's tea, it's okay. And you spread it, this is tea. You don't spread tea on that. You spread varnish, whatever it is. Sheyehe av v'chomo mitkayim.
It's le'achad fire, no?
After you fire it up. Tzarfa means you put it in a hot fire. V'kivshan, in the furnace, hutach alav, you smooth on it, tfeila. Tfeila is some kind of it's like liquid that's going to keep it. What do you want to make sure?
Varnish.
Well, sort of, but here it's not for decoration. You want to make sure protection, but what do you want to protect? If you have a pottery and you want to keep liquids in it, what do you want to make sure is not going to happen?
Like it's going
to
leak.
Right, you don't want the liquids to go through. So you're going to coat a waterproof coating.
Plaster.
Some kind of plaster, some kind of waterproof coating on the pottery so it won't leak through. That's tachalav tfeila. Sheyehe av, so that it will be thick, meaning like non-porous. The chomam it kaim and it will keep the heat in it. V'hu gemar malachta, and that's the gemar malacha. And therefore, putting on this coating, v'amrina lekaman, and we say later on, kol midi, anything, the havi gemar malacha is chayim yishamaka v'patish.
Amar gabi chabit.
So therefore, putting on this coating is going to be considered makabe patish.
Oh, good.
Can we say the makabe
patish? Aval, hold on one second. Once we're in this Rashi, let's just finish this. Aval gabi chavid, but by the barrel, lekamishum makabe patish, meaning the barrel doesn't have this coating. So what's the last thing that you do for the barrel?
Just hammer it all together.
No, it's not a wooden barrel. It's also a pottery barrel. It's a barrel made out of clay. I guess it just means a big pot or a big jug. What's the last thing you do to the jug?
Put it in the tandoor?
Yeah, you put it in the oven. So let that be the makabe patish, says Rashi. Aval gabi chavit, there's not going to be makabe patish. Leka makabe mishum makabe patish. Why? The me'eleha nigmara. Because what does me'eleha nigmara mean? What? That's Allah with an ayin. What's Eleha? May Eleha. From itself, it was finished. It's not makabe patish when you put something in an oven, because from itself, it gets finished. What does that mean? Yes, Rashi says, when you put something, the putting something in an oven, in the second line, it says, lekum isha makabe patish, di may Eleha nigmara malachto betanur. On its own, it's finished its malacha in the tanur.
But because it's itself,
it's not.
What?
Itself, it changes in the oven. He didn't do anything. It's the temperature.
What was the rule?
So right, placing it. Well,
what did you say? You want to understand?
That's exactly what he's telling you. Why it's not makabe patish? Because all you did was put it in the oven. What finished it up? What finished it up?
The oven.
Thank you. Not you.
Put it in the oven.
Oh, so that's exactly the point of Rashi. To say this point, to highlight this point. That is, but he's exactly answering Yaniv's question. He's saying that even though you put it in the oven, it's not makabe patish.
I just don't understand his reasoning. He's just like stopping. He's saying, okay, you stuck it in the oven finished it, it's not makabe patish.
So what are we...
I stuck it in the oven finished it, I caused it to be finished, I finished it.
Let me ask you a question even stronger, and then you'll answer me. Do we know of any malachas that you violate by putting something in an oven?
Do we know what?
Do you know of any malachas, of the 39 malachas, that one can violate by putting something in an oven?
Bishul.
If it's on,
Bishul. Bishul, of course! And yet here, by makabe patish, what does it say?
That
if you put it in the oven, since it happened by itself, you didn't violate makabe patish. What do you mean? Bishul also happened by itself. I put it in the oven, and 37 minutes later, the thing got cooked. It must be, you see something from Rashi, how he understands makabe patish.
You have to be the primary. There must be something.
You have to do the makabe patish, right? Right. As opposed to Bishul, this is how the Bishul happened in the Mishkan. You put something in a stove, and it cooked a little while later. That was. But what was the makabe patish in the Mishkan? You banged some metal.
Yeah.
You did something. So makabe patish, you're only going to violate if you actually do something. Okay, so we're going to come back to this point in a few minutes. I thought something was in this Rashi. I guess I was wrong. One second, please. I thought this Rashi had a case where you had a design and a coating. I was wrong. I just told you about a coating. Oh, so I thought I was going to be able to answer his question.
Can I say something?
About if you have a design and a coating. So here all you see is that the coating will be a makabe patish, but it's not talking about it. I assume if there's a design and a coating, what do you think? The last stage is putting on a design, right? But to keep the design on, you have to coat it. So they're both, after you have a full kli.
Can't we say they're both makabe patish?
Can I say something, Rabbi?
Because the point is that whenever you have an object, not according to Rashi, okay, according to the rest, whenever you have an object and it's already a fully functional object, you're just either beautifying it, making it a little bit more.
Rashi agrees to this. Going to everybody. Rashi agrees to this.
Okay, fine. Okay, according to everyone.
Yeah.
Then everything that is extra, that serves some purpose, but is extra, it's not, I can use the cup already, I can use whatever I'm doing already. So that extra, we call it makabe patish. From the beginning to the end.
Maybe, I don't know. One could argue and say, no, it's the last step. unless these are called last steps. I don't know the answer. Alan, what do you want to say?
Yeah, because I was talking to Ruben during Seder, and I got to the conclusion that Matam and Fatish is going to be whoever for you is the last touch.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
Maybe for me the design is going to be the last touch.
Correct.
But for maybe for you it's not enough and you have to put the veneer.
But let's say you want to put a design and veneer on it. So yeah. Putting the design be the last touch?
For me, yes.
Even though you plan on putting the varnish afterwards?
I have to put it afterwards, after Shabbat.
No, no, no.
What do you mean?
On Shabbos,
yeah.
You intend... You made a kli on Friday.
Yeah.
You want to use it Friday night. Two things have to happen.
Yeah.
You want to paint a design on it, and you want to coat the paint with a varnish,
okay.
So the paint won't get ruined by the chicken soup.
Okay.
So you intend to do two things
okay.
After you have this kli.
Okay.
I'm asking you, if you just did the painting... And you didn't do the varnish.
Okay, but at that moment, painting it was enough for me in order to use the kli and bring it to the table.
No, you didn't end up using the kli. The kli fell and broke, and I just want to know, do you have to bring a carbon chatas? Did you violate Shabbos?
You didn't have the chance to finish it. That's what you mean?
Or, you have to bring two carbon chatas. If you did... You put on the paint, design and you made the varnish. So then maybe you have to bring two carbon chattises. Okay, so that I don't know. Let's see the Meiri. Maybe by looking carefully in the words of the Meiri, who's the source? Yes, the Meiri is right after the Be'er Halacha. If you look at the last line of the Be'er Halacha, please tell me what the last line of the Be'er Halacha is. He says the Mishnah Berurah, I found that the Meiri actually says this. So let's see the Meiri and see if he could answer our question, because he's really the sort of like the source for this. And we'll see, the Meiri is going to have to prove his point. He's not just going to say halacha, he's going to say halacha and then prove his point. Maybe... From the Meiri, we could figure out the answer to our question. I don't know, but we'll see. Alex, would you like to read the Meiri?
Sorry, but Kli Sura, it's a drawing of Kli drawing.
Ratza Lomer. What he means to say, what the Gemara wants to say with this, is the following.
Ratza Lomer, Shini Shalem, Hakli, Vizer, both the Vinny.
What? Those two words are very important. You glossed
say,
over them.
Shalem is complete.
Who's talking here?
The Meiri. The Kli is already complete.
Good, right? This is the Meiri Lishita. This one word is Meiri Lishitase. David, you didn't even realize that. I didn't even realize that. What's the first two words of the Meiri? Not the first two. Shenishlam HaKli. The Kli was already finished, because that's what the Meiri holds that you have to have, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doug, you got that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's already finished, and now he's going to go explain what you have to do. Go ahead.
There also, well, Tzura, we know so, then you draw like lines on it to make it nice, Ha'il, the Eina Kli, sorry, Kla, Klo.
In the middle of the sense, Ha'il, since the Eina Kli, sorry, Kla, Klo.
Ha'reiz, Ha'ka,
How is he defining what makabe patish is?
He's a kli doesn't need it.
Isn't that interesting?
In
order to be makabe patish, it's extra. Again, this is only the Meiri talking, of course. This is Meiri Lishitase, that it's only after you have a full kli. Rashi, of course, argues and says even the last part of construction would be makabe patish. Yeah, but the way he's saying it, we never saw this phraseology, that it's something unnecessary.
But that's all we know from before. That's what I mean.
Okay, but just the way he says it, that you're doing something that's unnecessary, that's why it becomes makabe
patish. You can use the kli without that, just because you want to make it beautiful.
Fine. Good.
It's interesting.
Me too. I was thinking about that.
It was like to beautify it, to make it beautiful, but you can use it. It's unnecessary.
Fine, but I never heard him say that because it's unnecessary, therefore it's makabe patish.
He never said it, but it was always implied. Cause it,
you're right. You're right. I'm with you. Yeah, I'm not. You're right. I just never saw it so starkly. Yeah, Robert?
I would expect that the Meir would say the Chavid would not have a makabe patish since the last step is necessary, and at the same time, is the last step, so there's no makabe patish. But Rashi that does hold that even construction of the kli is makev patish, I would expect Rashi to say the last step is makev patish. Additionally, because the last step is not another melacha, so you can't really fit into another melacha. So we have.
Reuven just made a fabulous point. Reuven saying that Rashi told us by the chavit and the tanur, the last step is this thing that you the thing that you put on so that nothing goes through. You're saying that according to Meiri, that should not be Makav Patish.
Right.
You know what? You might be right. What did the Gemara say?
Here?
That if somebody makes a Chavit, he's Chayav 8 Karbanos. Does it say which 8?
No, it says 7, no?
7 or 8, depends on the Chavit or the Tanur.
Okay.
It doesn't say which one. So you know what you're going to have? You're going to have Machalk and Rishon and what those 7 are and what those 8 are, based on how each one understands all the different Malachot. So you and I learn together only Rashi. But if we looked at the Meiri on that Gemara, he might have a different list of 7 or 8. And you're right, maybe he wouldn't have Makav Patish as the 8. But we're not going to...
But in the first case, that both of them would hold no Makav Patish. Rashi,
yes.
And... So, isn't it weird that Rashi... I mean, it's Rashi not Leshita say. Rashi would say, oh, since it's constructing, and it's the last step, I would say Makav Patish. The Meiri... Clearly would say no.
We could work on, let's not talk about that right now.
Okay.
I'm happy to look at the Rashi and we'll see that. Okay, so continue, Alex, with the other lines.
The low self devar, the shleva satsura, ela ath betchilasa. So it's not the end of the matter, but the completion of the tzura.
What's the tzura?
The lines on it.
The design.
Ela af betchilasa. They're only if at the beginning.
Even in the beginning. Right.
Even so if you draw the lines in the beginning, that would
not. No. It means even if you're the beginning of your drawing.
Oh, yeah.
Not only when you finish your drawing, but even in the beginning of the drawing. And now he's going to bring the proof. That's the halacha that we saw in the Be'er Halacha. Now it's this, what's his source? Where does he see? Where does the Meiri know that even the, it doesn't have to be the final finishing touch, it could even be the beginnings of the finishing touch. Where does he see that? Go ahead.
Armasechta. So it's a kolshu.
That's crazy!
So when,
I understood the word kolshu to mean even if it's the tiniest last bit. How's he reading kolshu? Any of it. Any part of it. Tzartzura, any of it. That's not how I read the Gemara. Okay, fine, but he's going to bring another
part. Any part of the Makav Patish?
Any part of the design
of the
constitutes any part of the last stage is all considered Makav Patish.
Start painting on them broke on
Mokhayat. Correct, Yechayev Daraisa.
So it's not Rashi though.
What?
Is it me? Because I kind of understood it was like he sounded like a little bit like Rashi, but.
Rashi already from before this would say Makav
Patish. Yeah, Rashi would say that even. Rashi would hold, this is my, Rashi could agree with this though.
Yeah.
This could agree with Rashi. If this is the finishing touch, so this is the last thing that you do. And, he's gonna explain a little bit more though. Go ahead, Ash. Shekol, first one on the line.
Shekol, Shehu Gamar Malacha, in Hagamar Nasa, Pamachas, Levi. Shav Hakava Patish, Hu Maka, Bechozer, Hu Maka,
Pain. Oh, what did he just say? This is the source.
Like if you
what's the case of Makav Patish we saw in the Mishnah?
Like the first time you're completing it.
One weapon.
There you go, lines, and that's the final action.
That's what this line says? Read it again, everybody.
No,
it says there's more than one blow to it. You need more than one.
That you do it, you go have a soda, come back, then hit it again, go, come back, hit it again, and
all these bangs at the end are all Makav Patish. I don't know if he's talking about, there are two possibilities that he's referring to. I don't know if he's referring to the making of a kli, that last bang to even out the dents of a silver kli, or if he's talking about Makav al Hasadan, Bikurnas. You remember you want to flatten out your hammer so you don't break the foil? Maybe he's talking about that. How do you do it? Bum, bum, da. Bum, bum, da. I'm sorry, three and one. Bum, 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 da. Bum, 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 da. Bum, 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 da.
How do we know it's three and one?
Rashi on the next element, Kufkim Lamed Aleph, says you do three bangs on the foil, and
foil
one bang
that you're
shaping, and one bang on the hammer on the anvil to flatten the bottom.
Does it make any sense? Does it make any difference? Sorry, three, two, four.
That's just how they did it.
Okay.
I guess because you're worried, that's how much you're worried about a nick in the hammer. 3-1. So every time you do that, that's considered Makar B'Patish, right? Every time you bang the hammer on the anvil, that's considered Makar B'Patish. What do you mean? But you keep on doing it, right? So each one, even though you're keeping on maintaining your hammer, well, that's all considered Makar B'Patish.
Isn't that the extra part of the Mishnah?
Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Yeah, okay, fine. But you still see from him an idea. That's what I think. Shekol Gemar Malacha, Shekol Shu Gemar Malacha, anything that is the Gemar Malacha, Eina Gemar Nase B'Pam Achat Levad, it's not that the Gemar has to be done at one time, at the very end. Sha'af Hakka B'Patish, even when you bang with the hammer, Humaka V'Chozer V'Maka. Even the classical paradigm in the Mishkan of Maka B'Patish is what you do it again and again. Now, does that answer our question about if you design and then shellac? Are you chayev on the design?
I don't understand.
Yeah, because it's something extra.
Do you know what our question was? Why? What's our question that we're trying to answer? If I have a kli that I finish making, then I want to paint a design with crayons or paint, and after I put the paint on, I put a vernis.
Yeah.
Are you chayev on the painting?
Yeah.
Clearly for the vernis you chayev. Yeah. I want to know are you chayev for the painting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you see a proof in this Meiri? How?
Because
he's saying,
extra.
He says it's something extra.
Because
he started.
But it's not the last extra thing.
If the pause
is the start of something extra that's not needed.
If you're clear,
who could argue on Josh?
Rabbis.
From the meeting.
If the clay would get, it would break, and the time that you're painting, which is not the last part of the Makar B'Patish, you're going to be chayav. Because it's the tchilat, it's the beginning of the Makar B'Patish.
Who could argue on what Alan is saying from this Meiri? Who could read this Meiri differently?
Nobody. Basically, he's mentioning that the hammer, it's one action that they then go back and repeat.
Right. His proof is from a hammer, where you do the same thing again and again and again. So maybe there, if you're doing the same thing again and again and again, if you draw a little bit, and draw a little bit, and draw a little bit, and draw a little bit, any bit of drawing is all going to be Makar B'Patish. But when you're going to do two different malachas, there's the last one and the really last one. The last one is the drawing, and the really last one is the varnish. Maybe only the varnish will be considered the.
Okay, so you will not be chayav b'patish when you're painting if the clay broke.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I don't think you have a proof in this Meiri.
I mean, that's what the Meiri is saying.
No, I'm saying, I don't think
you have a proof.
Yeah, but that's of the beginning of the final thing that you're doing.
You said the varnish. The
varnish is the final thing that you're doing. So I'm just saying, I don't have a proof in the Meiri, because his only proof, the case that he brings to prove his point,
that's
the case
because you had in mind from the beginning that your last touch is you're going to be the varnish.
That's how Makar B'Patish works, right?
Okay.
Fine. Now, let's finish that discussion. So I don't have an answer to this question, if you're chayev only for the last Gemar Malacha, or even for a second to last, even though it's a Gemar Malacha.
I don't know, maybe this is irrelevant, but I think we learned something about, I don't know if it was like in a Gemara or Mishnah or something, that if you do two different malachas, you would be, if it was like an av, you would be chayav in it, but if it was like a tolda, that av, then you wouldn't be.
Right, but that's not going to apply here, because here we're dealing with one issue of Gemara Malacha, Makar B'Patish. The question is, what is the Makar B'Patish? Is the painting the Makar B'Patish, or is the painting not the Makar B'Patish, because there's a varnish that happens after the painting?
To that question, do you think there would be a different answer, Rashi versus Meiri, or they would answer the same thing? Question of which, meaning there would be many Makar B'Patish or only the last one? I think that Rashi would clearly answer that only the last step would be Makar B'Patish. Because Rashi holds that even the construction of the Kli's, the last step is Makar B'Patish. If you would have held that you can have many different actions that are Makar B'Patish, then you would say from the beginning of the construction of the object is Makar B'Patish.
No, it's but clearly
the beginning of the end.
You're saying, according to the Meiri, the Makar B'Patish is afterwards, so there could be a few things afterwards.
Right.
Maybe all of them are Makar
B'Patish. According to Rashi, only the last step can be.
It's only the last step. I hear what you're saying. Okay. So that's issue number one.
So, Rabbi,
Did you see what he wrote about? Give me. I just have to finish here in 6 minutes. I have to stop early today. So give me. We'll follow up. You'll answer me. You saw what he said about cutting off tags on Shabbos?
No.
You didn't see that yet?
I didn't.
Well, that's page 2. Tags, price tags. Page 2. Josh, did you see page 2?
No.
Okay, so let's do page 2. We don't have to see it inside. What is... We saw the Gemara together that talked about picking out the
thorns.
Pine needles and thorns. You saw this part?
I didn't see this part.
Okay, so picking out the thorns is considered
Maka
Patish. So let's... When you have a price tag, Bloomingdale's...
The came from the manufacturer?
Yeah, the store, manufacturer, yeah. So you buy it, there's a little plastic, and attached to that plastic is a tag that says $59.99, and another little plastic thing that has a piece of cardboard that says Burberry's, another little plastic thing that says, you know, Macy's loves our customers. So now, when I take off those tags, what am I doing? I'm putting the finishing touch on this jacket. Until now, a jacket had all these tags coming out of it. I can't wear it. Now, by putting these finishing touches, I could now wear my jacket. So is that considered Makir B'Patish? Meaning?
Have you seen the niggas? Meaning, how they wear it?
What?
Have you seen the niggas? Black people? They
wear there are certain subcultures.
So for them,
there are certain subcultures that do wear... the tags on their clothing. So this is not an issue, because we know that it all depends on the location.
That is
100%.
Okay, so if it is like that, this is my question. Why did Mark have to bring like 1,000 examples, or did Rabbi have to bring 1,000 examples? If Baba and Badish would depend on why I consider the last touch. Because for me, maybe I open a bottle, I'm not going to close the bottle because I'm going to drink the entire juice in once and I'm going to throw it out the cup. But maybe for Josh, he's going to keep the juice for next day, so he needs the cup. You know what I'm saying? Understand?
It's a good question. There has to be some... You're pointing out that why we have... We've seen about 8 Gemaras, probably, maybe more. Maybe 10 different cases that the Gemara outlines, Makir B'Patish. It must be that each one is teaching us an additional component. You will have to... You could write your PhD on this. Of why the Gemara have to amend... What do we learn from each additional mention of a case of Makir B'Patish?
Because maybe all of the Makir B'Patish includes other melacha. No?
It's either
okay, so
once it's another malacha, it can't be Makir B'Patish, because Makir B'Patish only starts when there's nothing else to pick it, to pin
but
it.
But that will depend on you. On what you consider Makir B'Patish.
There's an actual Gemara here.
What do you consider Makir B'Patish?
The Kapid Alayho, meaning it's an individual...
That's a different point. That just means that you're not going to go out into the street with this jacket that looks
right,
like
but if you... So...
If
so
you would.
If you would, meaning depends on the person.
That's true.
Who wrote Binyan Shabbos?
Binyan Shabbos is a contemporary halacha sefer. I don't even know the name of the fellow. It's a modern halacha sefer. He just did a good job putting things together, and he has a section of Makir B'Patish. So basically, the question is, based on the Gemara that we have of picking out the pine needles, I would suggest that picking out the pine needles are these things that are attached that you don't want there, that you wouldn't wear in public. In my community, we don't wear price tags on clothes that we already wear. Right? So that should be exactly the same. That would be Chayav D'Oraisa. Now remember, the cutting of the tag is not a malacha whatsoever. Why not? Because you're not cutting in any specific place at any length. It's not even also. It's probably not even also D'Rabban. We're not talking about the cutting. It's the very fact that you're removing a tag that now will make your suit wearable. That's the malacha. You hear the distinction I'm making, Alan?
Yeah.
The act of cutting is nothing wrong with it. If you're just cutting this plastic, it would be mutter entirely. It's just now you're doing something that has a tag attached to it and is the end thing of getting the suit ready to wear. That's Gemara Malacha.
Can I ask who?
So that can be Gemara Malacha. So what does he say? Who did see this piece? Is that what you saw?
Yeah.
I'm going to finish in a minute or two. What does he say?
I think he pretty much said that it's to him, it seems it's okay.
100%. He says, Mutar lechatchila to cut off or rip off those plastic tags with the cardboard attached to them. Mutar lechatchila, he says. Incredible.
So it only can be if he considers that the tag has to be some kind of a kli that is attached, and it's in some cases...
Why does he do it? Well, did you remember the logic, Doug? There's a little bit of a difficult logic.
It was about the manufacturer puts it on.
100% correct. Alan, listen to this. We look at, and interesting, I might have said we look at the consumer. He says we look at the manufacturer, the artisan, the one who made it. When Mr. Bloomingdale's or Mr. Burberry's made his suit or made his tie, how does he want it to be? With a tag that says Burberry's and a tag that says $99.99, right?
So it was already done. It was a perfectly.
So it is already completely finished. What are you doing afterwards? What are you doing? Are you making it finished? It was finished. You're not even putting the finishing touch.
That was the finish.
Putting the tag on might have been the finishing touch for Mr. Matthews and Mr. Bloomingdale. What you're doing? Hold on.
Because I will never go out with a tag in my suit.
You will never wear it.
Yeah.
When we talk about the case of the pine needles, who's the one who pulls them out?
The person who's wearing
the
company. The
right, the one who does the weaving, the one who sews, the tailor. What?
Tshuva.
The difference is.
For me, the difference
don't
is
call
the
it. It's
time.
Not a gemar malacha. You know why it's not a gemar malacha?
Because
it's already completely finished. It's not like I have an unfinished thing, or it's not even that I have a finished thing that has something else that has to be done to beautify it. It's already. You know what it's like? It's like a plastic bottle cap that has been there and always is there, and everything's done. I'm not doing anything. I'm not adding anything on.
I just say, can't you say, instead of saying, who does it, consumer versus producer, can't you say, first time versus second or third or fourth or fifth or the...
How do you say that with tag on clothing?
Well, obviously, the tag on clothing is the first time you do it.
But again, we're saying taking it off is not considered finishing.
What I'm saying, because when you take it off, you're actually finishing the suit.
Wrong.
No.
When you put it on, you finish the suit. When you take off the pine needles?
When you take off the pine needles,
right.
You finish the suit. It doesn't matter who does it. The person who does it is finishing the suit. But in the case of the tag, when you put the tag on, the suit is already finished. So when you take the tag off, it was a suit. Somebody put a tag on it. So it's still a suit. I mean,
and
you already
saying,
have an halachic definition of suit.
You're saying it's not a
in the moment, Patrick. Somebody put, yeah.
So you're saying, you're also agreeing it's Makom Patrish, but you're giving a different reason.
No, I agree it's not Makom Patrish.
Okay, good. That's what you said. You have to see the reason. So tomorrow, during Seder, you can look at the reasoning and see the next case is actually very important to see how Makom Patrish applies to food, and it's going to be based on the Rashi that we learned together, and Daf Ayin Hey that we talked about, that when the Malacha is done by itself, that's not going to constitute Makom Patrish.
Malacha is done?
When a Malacha happens by itself,
what do you mean?
When you put something in the oven, and it just gets baked, and gets hardened, that's not Makom Patrish.
But I did it.
You put it in the oven. What made it finish?
The oven.
Oh.
But that was my purpose. I mean,
nevertheless, that's not going to be considered Makom Patrish.
So, I can cook on Shabbat.
Oh, you can't cook on Shabbos because what was the cooking in the Malacha? What was the cooking in the Mishkan? Putting something on a flame and letting it stay there till it cooks. What was the Makom Patrish in the Mishkan? Doing an act. So therefore, we have a different parameter between Bishul and Makom Patrish. By Bishul, and this is what we're going to talk about tomorrow, by Bishul, what was the Malacha? To set something in a state so that 32 minutes later it will cook. What's the malacha of Makom Patrish? Giving a bang. And therefore, as we'll see tomorrow, we'll have to discuss the parameters of Makom Patrish for food.